Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Episode 1, Part 1. Jim Corrigan had been through a lot in his very long life. He had faced down Nazis in Germany during World War II. He had fought werewolves, vampires, and demented self-proclaimed angels, and he had crossed into another dimension. Throughout all of this, he had remained unchanged and untouched by the hands of time, ever since the bullets had hit his body one night in 1933. Now, however, he looked different. Mercedes' eyes were larger than teacups when she looked at him. Her fingers probed the gray hairs at his temples like she was a hairdresser. He sighed. "Would you stop it, Mercedes, for Pete's sake? It's not like it's anything you haven't seen before. It's just hair."
"It's not, though," Mercedes said. "Not when it's an immortal who suddenly turned gray overnight. Do you think this happened because of the energy Anderson drained from you?"
"It's hard not to think that. Look, just stop fussing with it. Sit down and we'll talk, but stop putting your hands in my hair."
Mercedes sat down on the couch in the office, but rested only on the edge of the cushion. She looked like she was about to explode.
"So, now what? Are you not an immortal anymore? Are you going to start aging like a normal person?"
Her eyes widened again.
"Or even age faster, like the years catching up to you, and then you turn to dust all of a sudden like in Indiana Jones?"
"I don't know. Look, Mercedes, I don't have any answers for you. I just found out when we got back last night. Mary Louise pointed it out to me, but I suppose I would have noticed when I went to the bathroom to brush my teeth eventually. I don't know what happened to me, and I don't know what is going to happen. All I can do is wait and see."
"Well," Mercedes said, we could test it. Just little stuff, obviously. Cut your finger and see how fast it closes? That sort of thing."
"True. But let's keep it small scale for now. I don't want to cut off something that won't grow back."
"No, of course not. Maybe we should get Andrew. He's probably good to have if it involves medical stuff."
Jim sighed. "Well, there's something I should tell you. Last night, after you and Charlie left, Andrew took off."
"What do you mean, took off? Did he go camping again?"
"No, I mean, he left. He was very upset over how things went down in the spirit world. He thought, well, that's beside the point. He told me he needs a break, so he's going to go away for a while."
"A while? How long is a while?"
Mercedes sounded somewhere between angry and disappointed.
"He can't just take off. We need him around here. Plus, he shouldn't be alone right now with all of this happening. Feline dying and everything. He needs to have his friends around him."
"I don't know how long it's going to..." Jim began, but from the door, he heard Andrew's voice.
"A while turned out to be overnight. I'd like a word with you in private, Jim, if that's okay."
Jim looked up and saw Andrew leaning against the door to the back of the house. He must have come in through the kitchen door. The former FBI agent was dressed like usual, but he wasn't wearing his motorcycle helmet, and since he hadn't heard the bike arrive either, Jim deduced he had come on foot. Andrew's face looked tired and a little drawn. The aging that had come from his use of the spirit killer device in the battle against Anderson Kramer was very apparent.
"Sure,"
Mercedes said. She got up from the couch and looked at Andrew. An impulse made her reach out her arms and give him a hug. He returned it.
"Don't scare me like that. I wouldn't want you to go anywhere. We're a team. We've got to stick together."
"I know. I'm sorry." Andrew patted her on the back. "Let me just have a word with Jim, and we'll see how serious this will end up being." Mercedes let go of him and gave him a light punch on the shoulder.
"Fine. But you're not going anywhere, mister. Although, I suppose if you could use the opportunity to negotiate some kind of raise for us, then leaving for a day is okay."
She walked into the lobby and closed the door behind her. Andrew crossed the office and sat down in one of the chairs. He didn't sit across from Jim, which Jim felt sent some kind of subtle signal.
"So," Jim said, folding his hands on the desk and looking at his friend. "Yesterday you said you were leaving. What happened? You seemed pretty determined."
I had a talk with someone who reminded me that my place is here in San Francisco and that this job is pretty much the best thing that ever happened to me. I've helped more people in the time I've been working with you than in the years I was at the Bureau."
"I agree. We all know how the FBI tends to muddy things up. And you're welcomed back, that goes without saying. So why the serious demeanor?"
"Because I meant what I said yesterday. I was really, really mad at you, and I still am. Gambling with our lives in the spirit world the way you did? Well, it wasn't something I would have expected from you. It could have cost us all our lives, and Anderson might still have won, if it hadn't been for Rhea and Huyana. My old instructor at the academy used to talk about the circle of trust, where you kept all the people you counted on. You broke that circle, Jim. I'm not sure if it can be mended, but while I find out, I figured I might as well still do some good instead of just driving off into the sunset."
If you drove off into the sunset, you'd get your wheels wet. This is the West Coast."
Andrew's hand made a fist.
"Stop making jokes. I'm very serious. If you want me to stay here, some things are going to change."
"Sorry. So, what's your plan?"
"I've rented a room down in the Mission. I don't think I should live here the way I feel right now. Besides, I figure it's good for both of us to get some privacy again, especially if you're going to start seeing Rhea again when she comes back at some point. Fair enough?"
"No problem."
"Now, here's the bigger thing. I know this is your company, but when I signed on, we agreed to be partners. So I want more say in what happens around here. I want you to promise me you never take the kind of risk we did yesterday without consulting me first. Are we crystal clear on that?"
"Clear as a bell. Look, if it's an apology you want..."
"It isn't. You did what you thought was right because you felt it in your gut, and that's how you're used to doing things. That's what I want to change. Less gut, more discussion."
NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the Tricky Triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
"All right. I suppose that's a fair request. In the future, I'll ask for your input."
"No, you won't. You won't take my input. We'll decide what happens together. No more flying solo, and no more deciding things by yourself. I know that's going to be a big pill to swallow for a guy as old and set in his ways as you, but..."
Andrew trailed off in mid-sentence and looked at Jim. Speaking of being old, my God, you've aged.
Hey, you noticed, huh? Jim said, touching his temples. Yes, I'm thinking it's similar to what happened to you.
But the life force it drew from us was returned, minus the energy I had already used to hurt Zodiac out in the woods. Why wasn't yours?
Andrew leaned forward in his seat, looking closer. I don't know. Maybe because, like I said, what I have isn't life energy in the same way it is for you or Mercedes or Charlie. It's a different kind of power if it's what's kept me alive for all these years. It's more like a death energy than life.
So what's going to happen now? Are you going to grow too old and weak to plow the fields, and I'll have to take over the farm?
Watch your mouth, Picard. Like I just told Mercedes before you showed up, I have no idea what happened or how it will affect me. I'll probably make some small experiments to see if my healing is still as fast as it used to be, but you don't know if you're still immortal until you actually get hurt enough to kill you. Right. Andrew bit his lip.
Well, I sure didn't see that one coming.
Neither did I. Although I had considered the possibility that what Anderson did might actually have killed me, that was part of the risk.
Andrew's eyes widened slightly. You didn't mention that yesterday.
Would it have made any difference?
I don't know, but it's nice to hear you're not just gambling with other people's lives, though.
I never ask anyone to do something I wouldn't be ready to do myself. That's always been my policy.
Which sounds good in theory, but when you heal a gunshot in an hour, your risk isn't the same as mine.
Jim got up from behind his desk and walked over to Andrew. Look, Andrew, I'm glad you're back. I have to admit, I was worried after you left last night. Mercedes and I did this alone for a while, and I've done it even longer by myself. But I count on you now. I wouldn't... Ah, hell. If I'm saying it, I'm saying it. I wouldn't want to do this without you. I need you.
Andrew's face lost some of the grim expression, and his old grin returned.
That's what a partner wants to hear.
He stuck out his right hand, and Jim took it. They shook hands for a moment.
Glad to have you back, Jim said. But just so we're clear, the salary's the same whether you live off or on site.
In the lobby, Mercedes was busy sorting correspondence and invoices when the door opened and a young man stepped inside. He was skinny and wore big glasses and a t-shirt with a design Mercedes didn't recognize. Two dragons were fighting each other over a logo that said Eternal Wanderer. He closed the door behind him and looked around, spotting her at once behind her desk. She smiled her friendly receptionist smile.
Hi there. Welcome to Tempest Investigations. How can I help you?
The young man cleared his throat. He was hardly more than a boy. She would be surprised if he could buy a drink legally.
So, I found your business card on campus, and I thought maybe you guys could help me?
She could hear an accent in his voice, but couldn't place it.
I'm sure we can. Come on in and sit down. Can I get you anything to drink? A soda would be nice,
the boy said, and sat down on one of the chairs in the lobby. Mercedes got up from her chair and headed into the back of the house, taking a soda from the fridge and, on her way back, knocking on the door to Jim's office.
Jim, we've got a client here, although I'm not sure if this one's a paying one.
Jim opened the door, and she could tell that the mood was better than when she left. Both Andrew and Jim looked visibly less grim.
All right, and we're done here anyway. Who is it?
A kid?
The words were out of Mercedes' mouth before she even knew it, and she blushed a little.
Oh, wow. I sound really old now. That's awful. I'll start buying Metamucil and go to bingo games pretty soon.
Jim grinned. you're not old. But welcome to the feeling of being a grown-up. Bring the kid in, then.
Mercedes went to the lobby, gave the boy the can of soda, and gestured toward the office.
Come on in and we'll talk about your problem.
The boy got to his feet and followed her into the office. She directed him to one of the client chairs and sat down on the couch herself. Andrew leaned against the desk, and Jim remained seated behind it.
Welcome, Jim said, looking at the boy with what he hoped was a friendly gaze. I'm Jim Corrigan, and this is my partner, Andrew Picard, and you've already met Mercedes Perez. What can we do for you?
The boy cleared his throat, drank, and then cleared it again. It looked like he was either nervous or embarrassed about his problem.
Just relax,
Mercedes said to him, putting one hand on his arm.
I guarantee you that we'll believe you, and that pretty much nothing you say can be weirder than what we've dealt with in the past.
The boy looked at them, slightly relieved.
Okay, so you've handled cases where a guy was stalked by an invisible ghost cougar before?
The three detectives looked at each other and blinked, almost in sync.
NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the Tricky Triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.